Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bond yields always go down in a recession. You never had a recession where bonds didn't make you money. Equities happen to lose you money. And the recession is just starting. I think that inflation is peaking. And I think that we're seeing peak Fed.
Dave Rosenberg's contrarian perspective is on Consuelo Mack Wealth Track.
Funding provided by ClearBridge Investments, First Eagle Investments, Royce Investment Partners, Matthews Asia, Strategus Asset Management, and Women Investing in Security and Education.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Wealth Track. I'm Consuelo Mack. This week, Wealth Track is celebrating the launch of our 19th season. And what better way to mark it than to sit down with a guest whose outspoken and meticulously researched opinions frequently challenge the prevailing wisdom on Wall Street. Our guest is David Rosenberg, president, chief economist, and strategist at his independent economic consulting firm, Rosenberg Research, which he founded in January of 2020. For the decade before that, Rosenberg was chief economist and strategist at Canadian asset management firm Gluskin Sheff. Prior to that, he was chief North American economist at Bank of America Merrill Lynch and was consistently ranked an all-star analyst by institutional investors. His Daily Breakfast with Dave newsletter has long been considered a must-read by retail and institutional investors alike. Which prevailing views is Rosenberg challenging now? High inflation is at the top of the Federal Reserve's, Washington's, and Wall Street's list. Rosenberg says they are looking at the wrong numbers, and that disinflation is already taking hold. Interest rates are expected to go higher for longer. Rosenberg cites evidence of economic slowing, which will require easing sooner than expected. The likelihood of recession is still being debated. Rosenberg is forecasting a recession this year. And what about the already steep bear market decline? Is a bottom anywhere in sight? Well, Rosenberg is ready for that question, too. But first, I asked him why, with the CPI at 40-year highs, the Fed shouldn't be doing whatever it takes to fight inflation.
Well, I say that because of the nature of the inflation that we're seeing. It's really been just a case of a series of very adverse global supply shocks. I guess you could argue that a year ago, you know, with what I call the Biden budget buster, that we also had a temporary period with all those stimulus checks of unrelenting demand, but that's really in the rearview mirror. That's not the story anymore. We're seeing the economy, the demand side of the economy, you know, weaken off materially over the course of the past 6 months. The COVID itself was a huge disruption to the global economy. The cost push inflation results have continued. But on top of that, you know, look what's happened this year. We had the Omicron. That was, again, a supply disturbance, a cost push supply disturbance on the inflation side. Who was predicting that Vladimir Putin was going to go into Ukraine? And look what that's done to food and energy prices. And energy, you know, feeds into practically everything. And then China, you know, goes ahead with this very aggressive COVID zero policy, where they're locking down port city after port city that are integral to the global supply chain. At some point this year, Beijing locked down 400 million people. That has an impact on demand, but the much bigger impact has been on, as economists would say, the global supply curve.
But you're saying it's not a problem that the Fed can fix.
Well, what's the central bank going to do about that? This isn't like a situation where, wow, we have 5-6% demand growth. The Fed's got to cool off demand. Most of this inflation, and I think Janet Yellen never should have apologized. She was right, actually, last year, that this sort of inflation we're seeing, it is extremely unusual. If we had tremendous demand, I'd say, yeah, the Fed has got to cool this thing off
right,
and reduce demand growth. What did we see in the first quarter? -1.5% first quarter GDP. Oh, the economists say, well, that's all exports and inventories, as if that's not part of the economy. And the Atlanta Fed itself is at 0% for the second quarter, and we have no visibility in the third quarter. So we're either heading into recession or something very close to it.
Which would be disinflationary.
Well, it would be disinflationary, right. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, we've already had a substantial tightening in financial conditions, not just the Fed raising interest rates and pledging to do more, and of course the balance sheet runoff, which is only now starting. But
right, it's just starting.
The equity cost of capital has shot up dramatically. The debt cost of capital, I mean, look what the high yield bond market has done, and the super strong U.S. dollar. We've had a substantial tightening in financial conditions that feeds right into domestic demand. So I guess what I'm saying is that what's going to surprise a lot of people is that the story going forward is that the supply curve may well remain inelastic. We may still have these supply bottleneck problems. They may get resolved or not get resolved. But the Fed has already told us that when they said we're not doing transitory, we're not in the transitory camp anymore. Powell comes out several months ago, says we are no longer relying on an easing of global supply chains. Damn the torpedoes, full steam ahead. We're going to start to tighten policy. But, you know, I would just say, look how abnormal it is. I mean, a normal tightening cycle, the Fed's going 25 basis points, maybe stopping at a meeting and pausing to assess. This is what they did from 2015 to 2018. And they're on autopilot right now. And it's almost as if people have become numb, like 75 basis points. Well, why not 100? 75 basis points is like the new 50. 50 is the new 25. They're moving way too aggressively. The risk is that we're going to have demand contraction. We're going to have a recession. Inflation always falls in recession.
So what should the Fed be focusing on? And what should their policy be doing?
Please, look through the front window. You're spending too much time looking through the rearview mirror. And so chasing the headline inflation rate, by the way, lagging indicator. Secondarily, the fundamental forces at play have really come from oil prices and all the things that oil prices affect throughout the CPI. We are battling yesterday's story. It was a one-year story.
The New York Fed's model says that there's an 80% chance of a hard landing. What's your view?
We have financial conditions are back to where they were in May 2020, by the way, when we were in the second month of that two-month recession. But back then, the Fed was easing into it. Now the Fed is tightening into the tightest, most restrictive financial conditions since May of 2020. And they're saying that they have more to do. I think they're locked into whether it's going to be 50 or 75. A lot of people want to go 75. People are talking about they've gone from transitory to now front-loading rate hikes. The Fed, you know, we've never seen this before. The Fed has never raised interest rates, continued to raise interest rates into a fundamental bear market. When you've had the S&P down more than 20% in a five-month plus span, as we've just seen, you've had a recession within the next 6 months, more than 12 months. But the stock market is a leading indicator. It is a leading indicator. And, you know, Paul Samuelson famously said that the stock market has correctly predicted 9 of the past 5 recessions is not technically true, because when you're taking a look at fundamental bear markets that you measure both in time and in space, this is a recessionary bear market. It fits all the classic characteristics.
What is baked into the stock market at this point as far as a recession is concerned?
Well, right now, just down over 20% five-month period. You can compare this to the sort of decline we had back in 1990-91. And so that was an average recession, and it wasn't cataclysmic. But right now, I would say the stock market is pricing in a mild to moderate recession. I'm not going to get into how deep is it going to be. To me, the more critical question is, if we can basically agree that we're going into a recession.
You're saying that we're going to have a recession this year, right?
The stock market's telling you that. You don't go. The stock market is not a 2-year leading indicator. The stock market leads by 6 months. The most it's ever led a recession is 12 months. So where people get off saying it's going to be next year's story, I'm talking about from the peak. Okay, so the peak was January the 3rd. So it's just basically is no basis in fact or history that the stock market leads by 2 years. The peak was at the beginning of the year. We're in a fundamental bear market. Fundamental bear markets, not corrections, do lead recessions. You got Jay Powell in a matter of a week, he's gone from no recession, soft landing, and now he's basically saying, well, we may get a recession. You mentioned the New York Fed, the Liberty Economics blog, 80% chance of a recession. And here John Williams, who heads up the New York Fed, puts his hand up for 75 basis points. You should see what I mean is that is that they are running a serious risk here of an unnecessary recession to kill demand. Instead of letting the supply side, you see, because they've been, it's a case of once burnt, twice shy. They thought it was transitory. I'm telling you, I still believe this is transitory. What I'll say is that, yeah, if we continue to get these recurring supply side shocks, inflation is going to become a big problem. Well, the Fed can't really control that. Even the most hawkish people out there, Muhammad Alarian and Larry Summers and the like, who thought between Omicron, Russia is such a big deal from an inflationary shock. It's sort of an inflationary shock as well that becomes a deflationary shock. Just like when oil hit $150, people thought, oh, inflation, summer of 08. At some point, it becomes a deflationary shock on real incomes.
When do we see a turnaround in inflation where it actually rolls over?
Well, I think because of gasoline prices, we have one more bad month.
Okay.
And then it's, as they say in Quebec, les jeux sont faits, the gig is up. I don't agree at all that inflation is going to continue to go up. I think it's going to go down and go down materially. Don't agree with that one bit.
Okay, regardless of what the Fed does.
Regardless of what the Fed says, if you looked at the Fed's historical track record, you'd be quite amazed that they could have 300 PhD economists on staff and get their macro calls wrong so much. It's rather incredible. Now, of course, I shouldn't be in a glass house throwing stones, but I don't have 300 PhD economists. I'll tell you right now, I've done this exercise to show you what I do for fun. And maybe in the old days at Merrill, how much time I spent on the tarmac. But I went back to what's called the Green Book for every FOMC meeting. You can get this in the FOMC transcripts, back to the late 1960s. And I went to the Green Book, which contains all the macro forecasts by the Fed that the economists give the decision makers. Consuelo, a month before the recession, they've never seen the recession. They've never had a minus sign for the coming year. So, yeah, you know what the thing is that I will gladly bet against the Fed's view on this right now, although you're seeing shades of gray. Like, Powell is not going to change in a dime, but his tone, a little bit different.
It's changing.
In Congress. Well, and very quickly, well, look, let me just explain. Commodity prices are peeling back. All the base metals, you want to look tin, lead, zinc, aluminum, copper's down like 25%. Look at lumber, it's down like 60%. Like oil is now down. The energy stocks actually lead the oil price. They're all of a sudden, energy stocks in a two-week period are in a bear market. The markets are telling you. Mm-hmm. America is a nation of drivers. Well, what do you know? The energy agency tells us that energy demand in the U.S. household sector is down 3% in June from what it was a year ago. So you're seeing the demand destruction in energy. So thanks very much. I think energy prices have peaked. Maybe not permanently, but certainly for the next year. The demand side's taking over. And what I'm trying to say here is that the big surprise is going to be that the next shoe to drop is going to be the labor market. And you're going to start to see, because companies
didn't just... And that unemployment is going to increase?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I could tell you why. By definition, the unemployment rate has to go up. So, or else how are you going to kill inflation?
So is Powell and the Fed, are they going to kill the economy? That's my question.
My sense is that it's too late.
The damage is done.
Well, they're tightening into a bear market in equities. I will continue to say, despite what you think about the stock market, the S&P 500 is a leading indicator. Is it perfect? There is no perfect leading indicator. But the stock market is actually a pretty darn good one. And this is a recession bear market. And they're still tightening.
If we're in a recessionary bear market now, a lot of people are looking at the declines we've had and said, valuations are getting more attractive. What are you telling investors? What are you telling your clients about market conditions, future market conditions, and how we can protect ourselves from the bear market if we can, or is it are valuations attractive enough to start buying?
What I'm saying is that when you're going through bear market rallies like we are now,
these are bear market rallies.
Of course. And we had. We had so many of these, we had something like 33, 2.5% plus days in the S&P in 08 and 09. In 01 and 02, we had over 20 of these bear market rallies, these wild swings. This is all characteristic of short covering. Short covering can produce, on an interim basis, some real significant buying power. It's not real traditional buying, but the short squeeze can be significant. That's what we're seeing right now. Of course, it's a bear market rally. Yes. valuations have improved 100%. We entered into this bear market with valuations almost as extreme, not quite, as they were heading into the dot-com bubble. So that's a bit of a problem. We've mean reverted. Yes, we've gone back to the long run mean on the PE multiple, no matter how you want to measure it. But mean reversion doesn't mean you stop at the mean. You never stop at the average. The average is some horizontal line over time. Mean reversion means, by definition, and this always happens in the market, you go from one extreme to the other extreme. Trough multiples are 12. That's, you buy the market in a recessionary bear market when they get crazy low. We're not at a 12 multiple yet. If we get a classic recession in profits, which I think we will, I think we're going to have a recession. I strongly think that we're going to have a recession starting in the second half of the year.
And second half of this year, right. 2022.
Think of how horrible a call it is to say recession's next year. When you consider the stock market bottoms 2/3 to 3/4 of the way through recession, you see these people, these Pied Pipers and shills and promoters who are telling people, oh, the recession's next year. You know what a horrible call that is for an investor? Because it means that the stock market won't bottom until sometime late next year. Late next year. Imagine telling an investor recession is next year's story. Well, the stock market is forward looking. The stock market bottoms. For example, March of 2009 bottom, recession ends 3 months later, June of 2009. Stock market looks forward.
Dave, what are you telling investors as far as the duration of the bear market and its severity from here?
I don't know about the duration. I can tell you about the magnitude. There's different ways you can skin this cat. I think that we will bottom around 3,100. And I say that because I work back to what the Fed wants. The Fed wants 2% inflation. It's not just about inflation going down. They've said repeatedly, it's not just about inflation going down. They have to see evidence we're going back to 2% inflation. We're going to 2 from 8.6. It's not going to happen that quickly, but they're not saying that we want inflation to go down. They're saying we want inflation to go down and go down towards 2%. So we ran these models because the Fed ultimately infects the economy through financial conditions, how their actions interact with the markets, which we're seeing in real time already. So we had estimated that for the Fed to get inflation into 2%, they would have to tighten financial conditions to such an extent that high yield spreads would have to blow out past 700 basis points, call it another 200 basis points above where we are right now on high yield spreads, and the stock market, the S&P 500, down to 3,100. That is basically, well, that's our base case scenario. So what I'm saying, by the way, is that we have other models telling us that it could be even worse than that. I don't know what the duration is going to be. I have a sense as to what's going to make sense. When we get down to 3,100, even if it goes down further, I will be at that point. That's when I'll start to be buying the dips. That's where I think real value is going to open up, and no one rings an alarm bell at the very low. At the very low, the valuations get absolutely crazy attractive. I just am telling clients, make sure you have liquidity and cash on hand to put it to work, because this thing is not over by a long shot. The analysts haven't cut their numbers, so we're going to be in for a prolonged period here of earnings disappointments, earnings misses, analysts taking down their numbers, and that's going to be the next leg to this bear market. I think basically, at best, maybe we're about halfway done. In terms of duration, I don't know. I know what I have to look for to tell my clients it's not an alarm bell, and you don't have to put all 10 toes into the risk pool, but maybe start dipping some toes in. When I start seeing that the recession call becomes universal, when it becomes the consensus, that will be, from a contrarian standpoint, I will no longer be the contrarian. That's an important data point.
You believe the Fed's going to ease sooner than everyone expects?
What has to happen? Something very important, which we haven't talked about, because we're only talking about Fed tightening. Sorry. The markets don't bottom when the Fed's tightening an environment like this. We have to see them start to ease policy. So that's going to be very important, okay, to see that swing. Just not much different than the Fed pivot that caused the market to turn around heading into 2019, except what's different is that in a recession, the Fed really has to do a lot of work cutting interest rates. That might not be till next year if we're looking at, or maybe later this year. It's hard to believe right now talking about the Fed cutting interest rates. But also, you know, this is what I'm telling people to do. If you want to turn bullish on stocks, and boy, who doesn't? Even me, the so-called perma bear, which I'm not. I would love to turn bullish on stocks. But what has to happen first is the bond market has to rally. Because in these sorts of recessionary bear markets, you don't get a bottom in the S&P 500 until Treasury yields go down. And normally, on average, again, this is an average and a median, the decline in the Treasury note yield at the lows in the stock market is 160 basis points from the peak. I guess you'd say to me, good grief, I guess what you're saying is that the 10-year Treasury note yield has to get to 1.6% before you turn bullish on equities. And I'm saying, well, yeah, that's exactly right. But that actually makes perfect sense, because it's at that level of the 10-year Treasury note that is going to offer equity investors some real compelling relative valuation. Because take a look at where is the dividend yield right now on the S&P is 1.6. At the lows of bear market recessions, the lows in the bond yield correlate perfectly with the level of the S&P dividend yield. At what point do we actually have the dividend yield and the 10-year Treasury note yield intersect? Well, that means that we either go to 1.6% on the 10-year note. So I'm saying right now, you're asking me what I'm telling clients, buy bonds. 1.6%.
Yep. So you're telling them to do that now.
The chicken's got to come before the egg. Turn bullish on treasuries. Treasury yields are going to go stupid low. Get out of treasuries. And when they'll get stupid low, when? When do they get stupid low? When they match the dividend yield. Well, so it's either, if the bond market doesn't do the heavy work for you, then I got news for you. To get to the yield, if you're going to say to me, well, I hate the bond market, yields are never going to go down, we're going to be stuck above 3%. Well, I got news for you. Then if we're going to get to that level of when the dividend yield, bond yield end up becoming in line with each other, which defines the bear market low, well, then why don't you just wait then for the S&P to go to 2100? Either the S&P goes to 2100,
and then the yield will definitely go up, and it will
then
be.
The yield goes up toward treasury. So what I'm saying right now is, be patient. Everybody says, I say leave the bottom picking to the proctologist. Okay, mm-hmm. We should just be actually focused on what are the factors, because I don't know the answer to the question about the duration of the bear market. I only know that there is going to be a day where this bear market ends. I want to be prepared for it. But I have to know what to look for.
Right,
to be
and you're
able
not
to
buying on
call.
The dips now. That's for sure.
Absolutely not. Well, if the recession, I've got to stay true to my word and be consistent in my analysis. I think the recession is just getting going.
Okay.
The stock market doesn't bottom in the first month of the recession. It bottoms about 2/3 to 3/4 of the way through. So it'd be totally wrong-footed of me to say, oh, well, this is the bottom. It can't. How can it be the bond? Unless we don't have the recession, unless my recession call is blown out of the water. Well, this is a case where your assumptions drive your conclusions. If my recession call is wrong, if you actually, any viewer, believes that we're going to get out of this in a soft landing, that there's not going to be an economic contraction and a 20% decline in earnings, which happens even in plain vanilla recessions, if your view is the soft landing view, I'd be loading up the truck right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be loading up the truck right now. Well, maybe I would be loading up the truck because I'd say that we have maybe fair value, but the market's not super cheap. But I would be, I'm underweight equities. I've been recommending my clients to be underweight equities.
In the meantime, Dave, in investment themes, long treasuries that you would actually be investing in now. I mean, I'm looking at a whole list. You've got gold and pharma biotech, farmland, industrial REITs, defense stocks, alternative investments, because the public markets aren't going to do well. So these are still, this is a very defensive approach.
I'd say that basically, look, what's the primary theme right now? I think you want to have cash. You're getting paid, to be in cash. Why would you not want to buy 2-year notes at over 3% in something totally liquid at the front end of the treasury curve? In fact, I would be laddering treasuries right throughout. I think the Fed's got one more rate hike. I think people will be surprised that they're done after July. They're going to go big. They want to front load everything. Why do you think? Because we have November midterm elections. They'd rather stay silent. There's a lot of opportunity. If you have ice in your veins, you'd want to buy the long bond or even 30-year zero coupon bonds, because you'll get a really big capital gain if I'm right on the interest rate call.
Your one investment for a long-term diversified portfolio would be the long treasury bond, the 30-year treasury bond?
The answer to the question is yes. I think that especially now that a recession is imminent, bond yields always go down in a recession. You've never had a recession where bonds didn't make you money. Equities happen to lose you money. And the recession is just starting. I think that inflation is peaking. And I think that we're seeing peak Fed. But no risk, no reward. You're taking on duration risk. What I'm saying, though, is that for people that are sort of a little nervous about duration, you're getting paid 3% to be at the front end of the yield curve with no duration risk.
Right, the two-year Treasury note. Dave Rosenberg, thank you so much for joining us on Wealth Track.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
At the close of every Wealth Track, we try to give you one suggestion to help you build and protect your wealth over the long term. This week's action point is consider putting some two-year Treasury notes in your portfolio. As Dave Rosenberg noted, the two-year maturity is benefiting from rapidly rising short-term interest rates now and is also competitive with yields on longer-term Treasuries without taking the risk of holding bonds that won't mature for many years. You can find out more information about buying these securities and other Treasury issues, commission-free, directly from the U.S. Treasury at Treasury Direct. The two-year Treasury combines liquidity with higher income and can be sold easily before maturity or rolled over into another Treasury when it comes due. Next week, award-winning international investor Sarah Ketterer on the outstanding value she is finding because of the bear market. In this week's extra feature, Dave Rosenberg talks about what difference living and working in his hometown of Toronto, Canada, for well over a decade now, has made to his professional life. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and our YouTube channel. Thanks for watching. Have a fabulous 4th of July weekend and make the week ahead a healthy, profitable, and productive one.